The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Okay, we've all been talking about the ice bucket craze for the past few days that has gone viral, but something else that has caught the online world's attention are a collection of incredible photographs featuring 38 of the most haunting abandoned places on Earth. They've been viewed literally millions of times. They include Pripyat in the Ukraine, the deserted city next to Chernobyl, the Gulliver's Travels theme park in Japan, the deserted Canfranc rail station in Spain, which in 1928 had the longest rail platform in the world. And you know what, when I was going through them, they certainly provoked something in me, because each is a little glimpse of a human world which was once full of life and hope and future. And then it's like, bang, something changed. And that sense of abandonment and desertion is really quite chilling. So have a look at them. We've posted them on our website so you can have a look. And we thought, who could possibly turn something so visual into words? It was a no-brainer, really. Good morning, Christy Keneally.
Good morning, Catherine.
And we left a bit of cake for you as well.
Oh, that's very nice. Thanks.
But do you know what, Christy? When I was going through them, it reminded me of my Nana went into a nursing home, and her house, which she had so beautiful and she'd kept so well. But when you went in, I mean, it was empty for 2 years. And it was that sense of life was missing in it.
That's it.
It felt strange, you know, and even though everything was perfect, it was just that feeling every time I went in that came over me. You know, it was a sort of a sadness as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an absence, you see, for you. Whereas, as you know, if you go to the desert, you never feel that, because there was nobody there to start with.
Yes.
So that when we move into a place that was inhabited, and it's no longer so, we bring all our memories in, all our perceptions. So we bring the haunting in that sense to it.
Yeah.
We look into a room, and that was Nana's chair, or that's where he sat inside the table for his tea always. And there's all of our senses have a million memories of that place.
And I suppose with these photographs as well, what struck me is they're not old stone ruins from centuries ago. They're modern structures forgotten in a modern world. So why does that affect us so much? Or fascinate us, I suppose.
I think what happens is, if you go to a famine village in Ireland, or what was a famine village, there's a certain softness about it, in the sense the land has re-embraced it and grown up around it. And there's an old shgach in the door, and there's ivy grown, and there's a softening that comes with time. And you see, if you go back to the time of the famine, think of the wrench it was for these people to leave that little area and that little house, to head off across the ocean and to never come back. And part of the tradition of the time was that they would ask the children especially to go around and kiss the walls as a sign of reverence and thank you to the house for having had them. And then part of the grieving of the other villagers left behind was they would keep the fire going for a period of time, you know, almost a ritual thing. And it was also, of course, because once the fire was going, the thatch was dry, the walls were dry, it preserved the house.
Mm.
And it's only when they accepted that they were never coming back that they let the fire go out.
Yeah.
And so what we're left with is just a gable. Whereas now what we have is, we have complete buildings now that are, in a sense, architecturally perfect. But they have blind eyes, because they put boards in the windows. And as we say, the eyes are the windows of the soul.
Mm.
In some ways, the windows of a house are the eyes of the house. And, you know, we look in for the warmth and the light and the movement. People in the house look out from their house. And once you take out the inhabitants of the house, you no longer have a home. You have a house. And that's only a box of bricks.
Mm. And we're seeing so much of it all around the countryside.
Oh, absolutely.
The ghost estates. And,
absolutely, yes.
And it's an incredible, when you see that board, you know, it sort of triggers something in you, doesn't it?
That's right. And you see little bits, like going back to nature and, you know, the grass coming up in places, or coming up in the middle of the road, or cracks in the tarmac, because it's in nobody's interest to keep it.
Mm.
So, I mean, there was a great saying one time, Ruskin, I think, said, you know, a civilization will be judged by what it builds. But you could add to that, it will also be judged by what it maintains or how it maintains it.
Sure.
So to let your house go to rack and ruin is a kind of a reflection of the rack and ruin maybe that's going on inside yourself.
Sure.
And maybe these are indicators to us of the malaise that has happened, as the dis-ease that has happened to us.
Well, yeah. Let's talk. Let's pinpoint a few of them. Pripyat, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Good for me.
Yeah, that'll do. Okay. Again, quite chilling. And we all know what happened in Chernobyl.
But
it's that sense that it happened so suddenly, that
Absolutely.
Evacuation.
Yeah.
That's what the photograph gives me.
Yeah. You have a city of nearly 50,000 people. City was only built in 1970, so in a sense, it was brand new. They hadn't even opened the amusement park, right? It had, you know, high-rise buildings, apartments for single women, apartments for single men, apartments for partners, schools and all the rest of it. And then all built because this nuclear thingy was up the road. And then one day the thing overheated, became exposed, caught fire, and it vomited, if you'll pardon the expression, 90 Hiroshimas worth of nuclear material into the air. Now, where did that go? This was in 1984, 86, I can't remember which, but I know I was in Switzerland at the time. And I remember hearing about it and thinking, is this a good day to go out?
Yeah.
You know? Now, so, of course, it went downwind. And the most of the city was downwind. They kept it secret because the Russians didn't want the world to know. It was in the north of Ukraine. It took 40 hours before the news broke and before they evacuated. It took 2 days to evacuate the town. And it's a bit like the Marie Celeste that you read about, that, you know, the dinner plates were on the table and what happened to them and so on. But the tragic thing you see is toys deserted, you know, dinners, mattresses, as if somebody pulled off the mattress, thought about bringing it with them and then resought it. And now it's a ghost town. You can go there if you're mad enough. You can go on a tour there. You can only stay for so long because of the radiation. And you have to carry this little Geiger counter around with you that sounds like a frantic cricket.
Yeah.
You know, going tick, 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 tick.
And when do they estimate that that part of the world would be able to be repopulated again?
Oh, generations and generations.
Yeah.
And I wonder if some parts will ever.
Yeah.
Because the forest, the local forest went red. Just with radioactivity, and the soil holds it longer than tarmac or concrete does. Mm. So it's in the land.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's a chilling.
It's a chilling thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned a new playground or new fairground that hadn't even opened yet.
Yes.
And that's quite a recurring theme in this list of photographs.
Yes.
Abandoned fairgrounds, one of which is Gulliver's Travels in Japan.
Yes. And I saw that when, to be honest now, I smiled, Catherine, you know, because like, whoever had the notion that it would be a good idea to set up a theme park based on Gulliver's Travels, Dean Swift, Irish guy from European culture, at the bottom of Mount Fuji. It would be like going to the bottom of Crow Patrick and seeing a Japanese tea garden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, thanks, like, but I go to the local all the same, thanks. It'd be nice to look out the window at it. You know, maybe the mother would like it. You know, that sort of thing. And it's just, it's a cultural anachronism.
Yes.
It's kind of a marvellous thing in the wrong place, you know. And it didn't work. It didn't work. Well, it lasted for 10 years, which just goes to show somebody had a lot of money invested in it and was not going to give up on the possibility. But it just couldn't take, because the Japanese culture and the Irish culture, you know, there was a great thing. I remember reading one time about the Japanese or the Jesuit mission to Japan, which started in the earlier 1600s or 1600s, I suppose, and it got nowhere. And a Jesuit historian was asked about it and he said, look, we provided a massive scratch for an itch that wasn't
that
there.
Wasn't there.
That's it. You know, the right thing in the wrong place.
And there's another incredible photograph, the New Orleans Jazzland theme park as well. Yes. It looks like something out of a horror movie.
It's Stephen King territory, this one, because most of us grew up with, either you called it the hurdy-gurdies, the amusements, or in Cork we called it the merries. It was lights, action, music, people, children, madness, smell of chips, all the rest of it like that. Now, what's it like when it's deserted? I did a programme a couple of years ago, part of the Molehente Sire series, and I went to the one I went to as a kid, the hurdy-gurdies, and of course it was off-season. It was haunting. You know, all you were short was for the carousel to start on its own in reverse, you know. But if people go to the website and look at that, they see especially a clown's face on the floor. huge, kind of gigantic clown's face. And a clown's face at the best of times can be kind of scary.
Scary, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's to see a place that should be full of all the other dimensions, and it's not, and it's slightly askew. And of course, that's what frightens us, is when the normal is turned slightly on its side. Mm. That's why Hitchcock's movie, one of his scariest movies, is The Birds.
Mm.
Because birds are ubiquitous. They're everywhere. We don't hardly take any notice of them. What would happen if they turned feral on us? And so you have that awful scene where she walks down the street and the birds begin to land on the wires above the playground. And as every bird, every time she looks up, there's another crow there.
Mm.
And like your heart is in your throat at the end of that. And I think that's part of the frightening aspect too of places.
Yeah.
Where your expectation is of the normal and of the usual. But it has been distorted a little by circumstances.
And would you worry, Christy, just bringing back to what we know on our own land, and you talk about famine villages and villages that have, you know, that were abandoned, like there are Blasket Islands, people had to leave. And even yesterday I was speaking to Councillor Paddy Hill from a little village in Finney, and there was only one child registered for junior infants. Is there a fear that some of our very small rural villages will end before their time comes? Do you know what I mean?
There is, of course. And it's terribly tragic for the people who live there. And it wouldn't be for me to say, no, look, we've had that from the dawn of time in Ireland, where people lived in certain places. It no longer became viable to live in these places. You know, like islanders had to move to the mainland simply because of, then better times came where we could provide services for people to live, in a sense, on the edges of communities, or in Oitne Irgulta, as they say in Irish, you know, outlying places. But people travelled and they brought their place with them to a great extent.
Mm.
You know, there were Irish villages in New York. It was possible to walk into a West of Ireland village in the Bronx. And you listen to some of the programmes on RT Radio now, especially about the music. There was a lovely documentary on the other night about the couple who went to America from Kerry. And I mean, all they had was the music.
Mm.
And that's how they made their own hinterland and they moved into their own culture. But that's probably getting away from the point you're making. But I mean, are you really asking me, are we in danger of losing something very valuable?
Well, that's it. It's such a huge integral part of our culture. And it is about protecting those small rural places. And we're hearing it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, better services, broadband, all that stuff that will keep a community
people in touch
together. Yeah,
that's right. And the post office, the community guard, you know, all of these things. People will tell you when they go around in Meals on Wheels that sometimes it's the first time anybody has come for a chat or knocked on the door. And I know there's no magic wand, especially in economically difficult times, but there's a difference between opting to leave a place and feeling that you have to.
You have to, yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, as always, it's a pleasure to chat to you. I could sit and talk all day. Christy Keneally, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks,
back after
Catherine.
This.
Sure.
Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.